Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back into Dana and Parks. If you're listening on podcast, we remain in a severe thunderstorm warning if you were listening on this fine Friday. I think till 10 p.m. tonight, correct,
that's
Sam?
Right.
Just about all of our listening area.
Mm-hmm.
Currently just east of Lawson, Excelsior Springs, Richmond. You guys are getting pounded there. And it's just starting to look like stuff's bubbling up in Topeka.
What do you think about that rejoin song?
Okay, it was like the river's running red.
Got a good
and
jam, right?
Let me hear it again. Is this the fake? Crank it up.
Mm.
It's good.
That's a good sound right there. Band made up of four people. Or is it?
What's the name of the song?
This song is called Dust on the Wind. Not Dust in the Wind. Dust on the Wind.
Scott called it.
It is by the brand new band called The Velvet Sundown. They released their debut album just over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
That album now has 1.2 million listens.
Yeah.
The song that I just played, 1.4 million listens. And man, that's a good groove. One problem. They don't exist.
It's fake. Scott called this a month ago when this was in the stack. There, people could not find a lot of information about the band members, but they liked the sound. They liked the song.
Yep.
And then people online were like, I mean, are these guys real? Because there's no footprint of these guys whatsoever.
They even put out band pictures, album cover pictures, the whole nine.
You it's got all
four
fake.
Dudes. Yep.
It's all fake.
You got four dudes that appear to be seated, two in the front, two in the back. And it is all 100% AI generated.
The faux rock stars are pumping out new albums scarily and inhumanly fast, releasing two albums in June and another set for mid-July. The band finally revealed its secret a couple of days ago. It updated its Spotify biography Saturday to reflect the AI twist, assuring everyone that they weren't trying to bamboozle anyone. The Velvet Sundown, quote, is a synthetic music project guided by human creative direction and composed, voiced, and visualized with the support of artificial intelligence. This isn't a trick, they write.
Okay.
It is a mirror.
They released photos that looked like it was from a live set of the band playing on stage.
Listen to this line. This isn't a trick. It is a mirror. An ongoing artistic provocation designed to challenge the boundaries of authorship, identity, and the future of music itself.
Now, to be fair, it was made by someone.
You have to have a human pushing the button to come up with it.
Yeah, somebody had to take the time to go into whatever AI system they used, probably multiple AI systems, to put in the correct prompts to generate that sound.
Isn't part of the art and the creativity, I'd love to hear from our artists on this, truly, isn't part of the art and the creativity what, as a listening audience, we just yearn for? And this came up yesterday. I was in my car parked outside the laundromat, Sam, and one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs came on that I hadn't heard in a while. Are You Ready For It?
Yeah.
And there is a part in that song that during the live concert, the fire, when she goes, "Are you ready for it?" Boom, boom, boom. The fire behind her, literal fire, is exploding in the sky. It is one of those moments at a concert with my daughter I'll never forget as long as I live. And I am just rocking out to that. And one of our listeners replied, she is such a brilliant writer. And she is. I don't think there is a better writer in our generation. I really, truly do not. Don't look at her pop stuff. Look at her deep, deep vault. And that vault runs deep. Hours and hours and hours deep. She's a brilliant lyricist. A computer can't do that, or can it?
These lyrics are pretty incredible. This is another song off of the album.
Let me listen.
That's not bad.
Okay, so let's say we play 10 minutes of that, Sam, on the air. Is that copyright infringement?
Well, so here's the deal.
It's not real. Who owns that intellectual property?
Whoever went to those AI platforms and prompted them to generate the content. That would be the creative behind the music.
So they own it?
Yeah, they were the ones that put it up on Spotify and whatever other...
It's fake.
Eh, in a way. See, this is why they're challenging the norms of creativity and publishing, for that matter, because while they themselves did not do all of the work to generate the music, in a way they did do all of the work to generate the music.
I like the haunting sound of that voice, but you can also find the haunting sound of voices throughout all genres of music that are actual people, right?
But you could say the same thing about like dubstep music, right? It's all digitally created. You just have an artist that goes in and tells the computer when to make certain sounds.
No.
This is an additional step further away from that. And I don't mean to insult anybody who makes EDM or dubstep music. That's not the goal with my comments, because this is a leap away from that. But those artists aren't playing any instruments.
So one of my favorite musicians locally, and I miss her. It's been several weeks since we've seen her. You know Erica McKenzie. I've had her on this program. We follow her around and listen to her because she's such an incredible, incredible musician. She has an incredible voice. And I kind of want to talk to my musicians about this. It is a song. It is an album. They are cranking them out one or two a month, but it isn't real. Do we have Erica? Is that her?
That is.
Oh, I miss you, girl. How you been?
I'm good. I miss you too.
So I'm so glad to hear your voice, and I haven't heard your voice behind the microphone in a while, and we got to change that, because I'm missing you, girl. I'm missing you.
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah.
So what do you think about all of this? You use technology with your incredible voice to bring us the concerts that you perform. And I love your sound, and I love the technology that you use, but Erica McKenzie is a very real person and artist, and this is a computer that cranked this out, and they said this was a real band, and it's not a real band. It's completely, completely artificial intelligence.
It's nuts. Just in a millisecond, it can just create an entire song.
I was saying to our audience, so Erica, there's something beautiful about the lyrics, and you guys with your band Flat Susan, you write, you perform. Mm-hmm. There's a very human element and connection with the audience there, and I don't know how you get that with something a computer has spit out.
No. You cannot.
How long you been doing it?
I've been playing professionally for 10 years. I build everything kind of live, so it looks like I'm using a lot of technology and using tracks and stuff, but that's another thing that I'm really adamant about, just when I'm performing, that it's all from me.
It's all from you.
Everything, right, yeah.
So what are your musician friends think about this? Because the laws don't even know what to do with this, or the lawmakers, even if this is something we could legislate it. Who owns this? There have been cases, Erica, where someone rips off someone's voice just to show you that it can be done. And to me, that's creative theft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. It is. I've gotten in with my man Aaron several times and created or used an app to create a song. We'd put in lyrics of an idea of a song that he had in mind for a love song for me, and it spit them out just right. And they're kind of fun too. I can understand how people can use it for fun, but to rip somebody off, that's just...
Well, especially because, Erica, you guys, like anyone who's listening who's a musician, the work and the sweat and the tears and the hauling equipment and the just, it's work. It's your job. It's your livelihood, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mess.
Right?
But we're glad we still have you. Where can I find you? Where are you at this week, girl?
Yeah, well, I won't be at 54th Street until next Wednesday.
Okay.
I play 54th Street, Zona Rosa,
first Wednesdays, third Wednesdays, and the fifth Wednesdays if there is one. And yeah, you can catch me online. Just hashtag EOWB. Search that on Google. You can find me anywhere.
EOWB girl. All right. Yeah. We love you.
I love you too, Dana.
We'll see
Thanks
you soon.
For calling. Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm like, girl, you got to call in. If you have never.
Oh, she's amazing.
Oh my gosh. If you've never seen that woman perform.
There's a great distinction from the text line.
It's Erica, one woman band, by the way.
Yeah.
EOWB.
Or Erica McKenzie.
Yep.
Great distinction from the text line. If you paid for the service, which I'm certain that they did based on the amount of content they're pushing out, and then, of course, the quality of content that they're pushing out, if you paid for the AI service, you, as the air quotes creator, own the copyright.
Okay.
But if you do something with a free service, then that AI company owns the copyright.
So let me ask you this, playing devil's advocate here, because I'm not super comfortable with where all this is going. When Jaws came out 50 years ago, that was an infamous, real, troubled mechanical shark. Nothing but problems, right? But it was a physical thing. You go to a movie today, and they're not using real sharks. That is all CGI'd.
Right.
A lot of the live action films are CGI'd. The explosions you're seeing are not actually real. What I can see someone that is in favor of this in the creative realm saying, what's the difference?
Well, and at what level of fake are we no longer okay with it?
Right. Because
again, somebody had to go in.
If you talk about Hollywood, a lot of what you see that ends up on the silver screen is not real.
The magic of the movies. Somebody had to go in and have the forethought and have the creativity to tell these AI prompts to create this music.
913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody on the text line used the Gorillaz as an example of a band that relies almost entirely on the computer to create their music.
Yeah, but then what happens when you go to their show? And let me give you an example. Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, like that is...
The backing track cuts out or starts a little too early?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that sounds really good in the studio sometimes.
By the way, the band that we were talking about, the band that's not a band... is called A Velvet Sundown, and they have just over 1 million listens on Spotify. Their top song has 1.4 million.
We need a new word for a band that's not a band. It's not, what is it? I suppose it's music. It's FM, fake music.
I guess, yeah. I wouldn't stick with FM considering we use FM, but yeah.
A couple updates on stories that we have followed extensively on the Dana and Parks program. Panera has resolved the litigation tied to the deaths from the energy drinks that looked like lemonade and were sold sort of as lemonade. And unless you really looked at the label, and Sam and I have argued about this for a couple of years. Panera on Thursday afternoon confirmed the lawsuit surrounding its charged lemonades have all been resolved. The fast casual chain faced multiple lawsuits last year after guests died or were hospitalized after drinking the brand's highly caffeinated energy drinks, which, by the way, are no longer on the menu. But if you remember, they had them over by the sodas and the tea. You could just...
They were called charged lemonade.
Fill them up.
I don't know how I feel about
this. I know.
I think that you're literally opening every single energy drink company...
No, because this was, you just walked up and you pushed your cup against the handle just like you would soda, and it looked exactly like lemonade, and it said lemonade.
So today is National 7-Eleven Day. Say I walk into 7-Eleven, and I walk up to the drink cooler, and I whip open the door, and on the left side, there's Pepsi, there's Coca-Cola, and on the right side, there's Monster Energy. And, you know, maybe I'm not from around here and I don't know that Chads all over the country have been pounding Monsters for the energy for years. And instead of that Coca-Cola, I'm like, man, that black can with those three stripes, that looks good.
Really good.
I grab one of those and I have a heart attack.
Is that not a little bit different, Sam? Because the way these were positioned at Panera, a seven-year-old could walk up and just fill their cup up with it.
Same thing at 7-Eleven.
Oh, man.
That's why I have an issue with it.
So one case was filed by the family of David Brown, a 46-year-old Florida man who died of cardiac arrest after drinking a lemonade at a Panera in Florida. In another case, an 18-year-old with no known heart issues suffered cardiac arrest after consuming the energy drink. He survived but was hospitalized.
I have a relative who ran track and field and cross country and whatnot,
yeah,
and drank a Red Bull after an event one day, which is never advised. And his heart started freaking out, and he ended up in the hospital.
Yep.
And I don't remember what the ultimate result of that was. But based on the Panera lawsuit, now I think that he would have grounds to sue. That Red Bull did not specifically say, do not consume after activity. I don't know.
Yeah, they've settled. Here's another court case that we're going to bring back as a topic when we return. A court has just struck down, quote, click to cancel, and this is on a technicality, but click to cancel, we're going to tell you how that ruling is going to affect you. If you have ever tried to cancel an unwanted subscription and there's 12 different screens you got to go through, are you sure you want to cancel? You want to give us the reason why you want to cancel? Well, what if you don't want to cancel? What if you don't know that you don't? You know, we've all been there where you're trying to say stop. Opt out. I don't want to do this anymore. And there are too many hoops to jump through. So the FTC basically stepped in and said, no, companies have to make it clear and a direct path for consumers to say, we don't want any. On a procedural technicality, a court says the way the rule was written, we've got to strike it down. But this has come up in our lives so often recently, Sam, and I'm going to give you one.
Why are we striking it down?
I'm going to give you one example. There have all been products that we've enjoyed, and you will opt in and say, sure, you can text me with updates. And then you start getting bombarded with updates. Even from a company that you support and like, you keep getting bombarded with updates. We have tried and tried in the last couple of weeks to shut down one of them, and it's a men's t-shirt company. I'll just tell you right now, it's a men's t-shirt.
Yeah.
We can't stop the text from coming into his phone. We have done stop. We have done cancel. We have done opt out. Bzz, 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 bzz. They keep coming.
I have talked about this multiple times on the show. I used to have a ridiculous number of emails on my personal Gmail, and one day I just got fed up with it. Actually, it was because I was running out of storage and didn't want to pay for extra space on Google. And so I went through and deleted all of the emails. But as I was deleting them, I was unsubscribing to every single different service. So I was getting emails from a gym. I was getting emails from this, that.
Because they're selling it.
I would go in and unsubscribe over and over and over again. And sometimes it took like six tries. So why can't we have a situation where it's as easy to sign up, it's as easy as checking that box as it is unchecking that box? This infuriates me.
We'll talk about click to cancel when we come back. Why is it so hard just to tell a company in a way that for door-to-door salespeople, you can put no soliciting on your door and they cannot come up and bother you? Why can't we put a no soliciting wrap around our phones?
Or they will, but you have to call them in.
913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on that straight ahead.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you haven't heard about it, click to cancel basically would have made it as easy to cancel a membership as it was for you to sign up. It would have stopped corporations and businesses from forcing you to do lengthy chat sessions or creating other barriers, any barrier really to cancellation. Click to cancel. Theoretically, you could just say stop and it's over.
Stop. Yeah.
And it's over.
With some of those companies, it's like a 8-step process. You go to the email, you click the unsubscribe link. As you mentioned, there's like a chat box. You have to give them a reason why. And do you plan on returning? And can you fill out this short survey? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Look this up because the rule has been vacated. It was supposed to go into effect on July 14th. It was supposed to go into effect early next week. Like, what is that, Tuesday?
We were almost there.
It was supposed to go into effect Tuesday. It would have covered all forms of, quote, negative option marketing. What does that mean? Negative option marketing. This says programs that allow sellers to interpret customer inaction as an acceptance of subscriptions. Negative option marketing, meaning if you don't complain or do anything, the baseline is you agree to keep being paid or keep subscribing.
Well, and I think a big part of it also was the specifically with the emails, the automatic response wasn't to have that box checked.
Right.
So like when you go in and you sign up for something, and you look down and it says, checking this box means that you agree to receive promotions and other informational emails from blah, blah, blah. That box typically was already checked. And I think what this was going to do was make it so it wasn't.
So I want to be clear. The consumers want this. Lawmakers want this. In fact, state's attorneys general today are all reviewing what this means. Because the attorneys general all want this on behalf of their states. It's one of the number one complaints they get from citizens. Like, how do I get this to stop? The problem is the way the FTC went about trying to implement the rule. And of course, corporations barked back and have lobbyists and are saying, no, we should be able to direct reach out and do these things.
I just found out that one of the subscriptions that I've had for 5 years, I have to cancel in person, and I have not canceled it
yet. That should be illegal.
I signed up online. I have to cancel in person.
Why? Because they want to say, are you sure? What if we give you a break in cost? You know, that's always what they do.
Yeah, it's a big thing with gyms, too. I mean, you hear about it with all the big name gyms. You have to go in and have like a 45 minute meeting with somebody.
I'm going to be honest. I know that there are reputable gyms out there. I know that there are. But the gym industry has a horrible reputation when it comes to those subscriptions.
High pressure.
Yes, it does not have a good reputation. That actually happened to me when I was back in college. When I moved out of Lawrence, the gym that is no longer in business, it refused to let me out of the contract. I remember saying to them, I'm moving. I'm no longer going to be living in this city. Well, you signed a contract. I'm sorry. And under this rule, I think those types of subscriptions and contracts would all apply. We just want some of the texts to stop coming into our phone after we say no, opt out, cancel. Let's go to Aaron.
Hey, so Congress isn't going to do anything about this because, you know, the people that are for this pad their pockets. And there's no incentive, which, you know, other than their congressional, areas, you know, they're the people that vote for them is to stop complaining. And they don't really care because money pads their pocket.
But don't you think this also affects just any man and woman in Congress, Aaron? This is like a universal thing that ticks people off.
90% of them don't answer their own phone.
Right.
They don't answer to anyone except for the people that pay them. So, you know, why would they don't do anything as it is. Why would they do something, for free?
So thank you for the call, Aaron. Have a good weekend. This all started as a proposal under the umbrella of the Time is Money initiative several years ago. Time is Money. It was a government-wide initiative that was announced last year with the aim of cracking down on consumer-related hassles.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that because how much money is your time worth? And how often are you, today this happened to me, Sam. Please stick around as our menu options have changed. And then you get 23 menu options. and you're just saying representative. Like, I needed something today from a large trash company, and I could not get to a person. It kept saying, what is your address? Well, I don't want to give you my address. I'm not a customer of yours. And I'll just tell you, the house that we got, the old trash cans are still in the garage. They have trash in them, and we went with another company. I'm just trying to get a hold of someone to say,
come get your cans.
Come get your cans. Yeah. Every single time you called the number, it said, go to blankblankblank.com for help. I don't want to go to the website. I'm not looking to sign up. It wasn't any of the options. And I will tell you, I probably spent 27 minutes today and another 30 minutes yesterday just trying to connect with someone for a subscription that we don't use and no longer need and don't want. Like, come get your stuff.
And I always appreciate the companies that do make it super easy to get it done. Streaming services. I have never had a problem signing up
or canceling. Then why do you think that is? Because honestly, Sam, most of the people who sign up for these services, you just forget about it. When it comes to me that, oh my gosh, we have not used HBO or Max or whatever in 7 months, I just want to be able to click and say, we don't want to do this anymore.
Kind of adjacent to Aaron's point about how they're not going to do anything because we're not the ones putting the money into their pockets. Similar to the automated calls back in the day.
Yep.
They put out the ban that these telemarketers couldn't call you all day long. But there was an exemption for politicians. Politicians could still call you.
Yeah, they could still robocall you.
Because if you're a politician and you sign up for a gym and they're being predatory saying, you know, oh, well, let's give you a cheaper rate. We really don't think you should cancel right now. They're never going to give a politician that runaround, so they don't have to deal with the problem.
We have created part of the issue and part of the curse, and here's why. With a lot of these subscription-based services, you sign up. Like, let's say, remember I had the Calm app, Sam, and I did use the Calm app quite a bit until someone pointed out that I was using it for thunderstorm noises, and you could just go on your phone and find a thunderstorm noise.
Like, Spotify has them for free.
And it was $70 a year, right? Part of the problem with those subscriptions is they are all set to auto-renew. Mm-hmm. If we all had to click on something every single month that said, yes, I want to continue this every 30 days, yes, I want to continue this, we would have far fewer subscriptions. Because what we do is we set it and we forget it.
Well, but even then that would get annoying, right?
It would, but shouldn't there be a way to say, I want every month I'm going to opt in and reconsider my subscriptions? And if you don't want to do that, you can set it and forget it for a year. Yeah. That's fine.
Make it more user-friendly.
Because you guys have never gone into the like bowels of your cell phone and looked up subscriptions, it should be way easier to find, by the way, under settings. You will probably be surprised how many subscriptions you still have that are auto-renewing or dinging you under Microsoft for $4 a month or $12 that you don't even know what they are. I told you, I discovered two of them that I had subscribed to for 2 years that I didn't need related to swim and dive. My children no longer swim or dive.
Yeah.
They are now out of high school and I was still paying, you know, $4.99 a month or something. And it doesn't come in as swim and dive app you no longer use, $4. Do you want to continue? It just comes in under Microsoft.
I was just about to say, speaking of subscriptions that you weren't using, did you ever have any closure on that Xbox Game Pass issue?
Yes.
Did you put a request out for a refund and did they
oblige? And do you know what ends up happening? The company on the left points the finger at the company on the right.
Yeah.
And the company on the right points the finger at the company on the left. So I was able to stop the charges. I have still not seen any money back.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold your breath.
Lesson learned. 913-586-7798. We're back to wrap the hour straight ahead. So this week marks an infamous date in localish history. It was July 10th, 1981, that the town of Skidmore, Missouri, did something that ended up making international headlines.
Oh, I thought I recognized that name when you said it to
when
me off the air.
When you say Skidmore, there's only one thing people think. I'm sorry, but it's true. It was 1981. What does that make it? How many years, Sam?
44
years ago this week, that town bully Ken McElroy was shot and killed in front of dozens and dozens of townspeople.
In broad daylight.
In broad daylight in Skidmore, Missouri. In fact, I think one of the docuseries is called In Broad Daylight.
All of the witnesses were called in for questioning, and he had such a alleged wonderful reputation, sarcasm intended, that when they were brought in for questioning, they all said, I don't know who did it. I didn't see anything happen. He died? Really? What? You said gunshot? I didn't hear any gunshot.
So Ken Rex McElroy, this is from the State Historical Society of Missouri, by the way, was an illiterate hog farmer who lived on the outskirts of town, as the John Cougar Mellencamp song goes. He was accused over 20 years of horrible crimes. I mean, the worst of the worst of the worst crimes. Police were scared to arrest him. Prosecutors were scared to prosecute him. Judges were scared to judge him. And juries were scared to convict him. Over the years, Skidmore and many other small communities became convinced that the law was incapable of protecting them from McElroy. They would watch in awe as he walked away from one crime after another until July 1981, when he was shot to death on Main Street in Skidmore. And Main Street in Skidmore, Sam, it is a storefront downtown.
Yeah, but it's the town square. I mean, everybody meets up there. Again, there were dozens of witnesses, and the town's not that big.
There were apparently 45 people standing right there. And despite three grand juries, no one has ever been indicted for the killing. There is a book actually called In Broad Daylight, The Murder of the Town Bully in Skidmore, Missouri. Why are we so fascinated by that story? Vigilante justice is not okay.
It's never something we promote.
It is never something we promote. But are there not certain cases where you're like, well, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, like the father in court that takes matters into his own hands against the defendant that is about to be sentenced for murdering his child.
And by the way, he was not shot once.
Oh, no, 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 no.
They lit him up, including the chest, head, and neck.
Wasn't his girlfriend or wife in the truck with him at the time?
That detail I do not know.
Sam, have you not seen the photos of that truck? Google the photos of the truck. Just Skidmore, Missouri, Ken McElroy's truck. They slaughtered this man. It happened in front of D&G Tavern, July 10th, 1981.
Trina McElroy, who was in the truck with her husband when he was shot. Nobody called for an ambulance. Every witness was either unable to name a shooter or claim they had no idea that shots were even fired that day, including the unnamed man who helped McElroy's wife get out of the truck.
Yep.
Because she was covered in blood and screaming bloody murder.
In one particular instance, the married McElroy is accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a 12-year-old girl. When the girl was 14, she became pregnant with his baby, so he divorced his wife and married the girl to avoid charges of statutory rape. The girl's parents were furious, as you can imagine. McElroy burned down her family's home and shot their dog. There's more. He was also accused of shooting farmer Romaine Henry in the stomach. A few years after that, he shot a 70-year-old grocery store employee in the neck. The employee lived. He was arrested and charged with attempted murder, was let out of jail to await appeal, and during that time started threatening the employee while armed with a rifle. On the day of his death, he was found behind the wheel of his truck. He appeared to have been struck by not one, but two different firearms. And his wife, as you mentioned, escaped without injury. No one called 911.
And it's not like they just turned a blind eye. There was a federal investigation.
Yeah, the FBI looked into it.
But nobody would speak. Now, his wife did file a $5 million wrongful death lawsuit 3 years, almost to the day, after his killing. She wanted $5 million. She ended up getting $17,000.
Local sheriff's authorities say that the case is an unfortunate legend in the area, with people from all around the world still trying to solve the case.
The townspeople at one point were referenced saying, quote, he needed killing.
They're not even like denying it.
Yep.
They're like, this needed to happen.
Yep.
When we get back, have you ever done the love lock thing? You know, like the kind of locks that we had on our lockers in junior high.
A lot of people have.
In middle school. One local man is accused of stealing some of the locks. And this has just got people all crazy online. They are very, very upset about this. We'll tell you why he's taking the locks. He's not denying it. And who owns that property? When you lock that padlock on a bridge, you see this everywhere. This idea did not start here. Do you think the love lock is forever? On one side of town. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks as we march toward Festivus Friday. In 1 hour, the airing of the grievances brought to you by Q39.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.